Hello, and welcome to this episode of By His Word. I am your host and teacher, Candy Carmichael. We've been discussing the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Last week's lesson described the gift of prophecy and how it works on two levels, foretelling and forthtelling. All believers in the early church were encouraged to become proficient in level one prophecy because it brings edification, exhortation, and comfort to the other believers in the congregation. Now, let's quickly review the Apostle Paul's opening words to the Corinthians on the gifts of the Spirit. After stating that he did not want the believers to be ignorant concerning the gifts, Paul writes this: "There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are diversities and differences of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, and to another gifts of healings by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills." 1 Corinthians 12, 4-11. Once a person is saved and baptized in the Holy Spirit, he or she is a candidate to operate in any of the nine gifts of the Holy Spirit as defined in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. These gifts are usually divided into three categories and are known as the charismata, a divinely given gift by the Spirit. All are supernatural gifts. They cannot be obtained by study or practice. All are through the power of the Holy Spirit within a believer. The first group of gifts is gifts of utterance. These gifts say something supernatural and are defined as the gift of prophecy, the gift of tongues, and the gift of the interpretation of tongues. These have been discussed in recent episodes. The next group is the gifts of power. These gifts do something supernatural. They are defined as the gift of faith, the gift of the working of miracles, and the gifts of healings. Notice that this last gift is the only one that is plural. Since there are multiple diseases and some believers have more faith to pray for certain ailments than for others, the gifts are plural. For example, a believer may have great faith to pray for and see healing for respiratory illnesses, but not have the same faith for kidney issues. The third group, which we will discuss in today's episode, is the gifts of revelation. These gifts reveal something supernatural. They are defined as the word of knowledge, the word of wisdom, and the discerning of spirits. Furthermore, Romans 11:29 says that the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. This means that God will not change his mind and take them away. The Greek word for gifts in the above verse is also charismata, the same word that the Apostle Paul used to describe the gifts of the Spirit. So Paul is telling the Roman Christians that God would not take the gifts away from the church, thus negating the idea that the gifts of the Spirit ceased with the death of the last apostle. The gifts are present and active within the church as long as the church is on the earth. As with the gifts of prophecy, tongues, and interpretation of tongues, the gifts are to be operated in love. They are to bring enlightenment to the believers and are never to be used for manipulation or for self-exaltation. Although there are not as many regulatory specifics on the revelation gifts, the Apostle Paul stressed that they are operated through the same Holy Spirit as the other gifts. The first gift in this category is the word of knowledge. Since God has all knowledge of everything past, present, and future, and is the only one who has that knowledge, then only he can reveal a fragment of it to a believer. Obviously, no human could know everything that God knows, so this is why the gift is a word or a fragment of God's knowledge that is supernaturally imparted to a believer that he had not previously known. A word of knowledge always reveals facts that have occurred in the past or the present, since no one can have knowledge of actual facts that are to occur in the future. That would be a function of level 2 prophecy that foretells future events. One of the best examples of the word of knowledge is in action is found in Acts chapter 5. "But a certain man named Ananias with his wife Sapphira sold a possession and kept back part of the proceeds, his wife also being aware of it, and they brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and to keep back part of the price of the land for yourself? While it remained, was it not your own? And after it was sold, was it not in your own control? Why have you conceived this thing in your heart? You have not lied to men, but to God. Then Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and breathed his last. So great fear came upon all those who heard these things. And the young men arose, wrapped him up, carried him out, and buried him. Now it was about 3 hours later when his wife came in, not knowing what had happened. And Peter said, "Tell me whether you sold the land for so much." She said, "Yes, for so much." Then Peter said to her, "How is it that you have agreed together to test the Spirit of the Lord? Look, the feet of those who have buried your husband are at the door, and they will carry you out." Then immediately she fell down at his feet and breathed her last. And the young men came in and found her dead, and carrying her out, buried her by her husband. Acts 5, 1-10. Although this couple had planned in secret to keep back part of their pledge for themselves, the Holy Spirit was grieved and angered by their deception. The Spirit revealed this fragment of God's knowledge to Peter, who had to be very sure that he had heard the voice of the Lord correctly. When he first confronted Ananias with a revelation, Peter knew that he had heard correctly, because Ananias paid with his life for the deception. Peter then knew to confront Sapphira with the same word, and she too died as a result. The demonstration of this gift showed the other believers the operation of the gift, but it also brought a great fear in them, as well as a warning not to try to deceive others. As Peter stated to Ananias, "You have not lied to men, but to God." This act also brought a great reverence for the holiness of God and restraint upon others against similar sin. A second example in Scripture is when a local believer in Damascus, also named Ananias, was summoned by the Lord to minister to Saul, who would later become the Apostle Paul. Now there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias, and to him the Lord said in a vision, "Ananias," and he said, "Here I am, Lord." So the Lord said to him, "Arise, and go into the street called Straight, and inquire at the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he is praying. And in a vision, he has seen a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him so that he might receive his sight." Then Ananias answered, "Lord, I have heard from many about this man, how much harm he has done to your saints in Jerusalem. And here he has the authority from the chief priests to bind all who call on your name." But the Lord said to him, "Go, for he is a chosen vessel of mine to bear my name before Gentiles, kings, and the children of Israel." Acts 9:10-16. Here, the word of knowledge did not come from a human vessel, but directly from the Lord himself in a vision to Ananias. Note also that this was sent to a person who did not have any special position. Ananias was a member of a local assembly who obviously knew the voice of God and was obedient to his commands. God gave Ananias very specific directions in how to find Saul, and that Saul was currently in prayer. Ananias paused just long enough to voice his concern about Saul's persecution of the church, but the Lord reassured Ananias by stating that Saul would be a mighty defender of the faith that he once tried to destroy. With this knowledge, Ananias left to pray for Saul. And Ananias went his way and entered the house, and laying his hands on him, he said, "Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who has appeared to you on the road as you came, has sent me that you might receive your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit." Immediately there fell from his eyes something like scales, and he received his sight at once, and he arose and was baptized. Acts 9:17-18. We see from these verses the results of the obedience of Ananias. The Holy Spirit used him to impart healing to Saul, and Saul at this time also received the baptism of the Spirit. By this time, it was a normal experience within the church, and local believers were able to impart that gift as well. This gift was even apparent in the Old Testament when prophets received a word from the Lord concerning certain situations. In 1 Samuel chapter 9, the prophet Samuel was approached by Saul, who was looking for his father's lost donkeys. In verse 19, the prophet Samuel informed Saul that the donkeys had been found and that Saul was to stay with him until the next day, because Saul was about to be anointed by Samuel as the first king of Israel, according to the word that the Lord had given to Samuel. In another instance, the prophet Nathan had come to King David, who was king of Israel at the time, and he started the conversation by telling a story of a poor man who was robbed of his only sheep. David was outraged when he heard this story, and he stated that the thief should have to repay four times the value of the lamb. But this was a trap, because David was the one who had taken the wife of one of his soldiers, gotten her pregnant, and then had her husband killed in battle. The Lord used this word of knowledge to confront David, bring him to repentance, and to hear the prophecy of his future consequences for his actions. A practical use in everyday life for this gift is when something is misplaced or forgotten. For example, many years ago, I had lost a ring given by a friend and had no idea where it was. I prayed and received the strong impression to go look in the bottom of a large storage cabinet where extra blankets and quilts were stored. I did so and found the ring in the bottom of the cabinet beneath all of the blankets. It never would have been found until the moving from that apartment. The word of knowledge can be manifested in a number of ways. It can be a strong impression, as in the example just given. It can be conveyed through a message in tongues and its interpretation, or through a prophetic word. It can also come through a dream or a vision, through a special illumination of Scripture known as a Rhema word, or occasionally through an angelic visitation. Instances of angels bringing messages to believers have become more frequent in recent times due to the severe persecution of Christians in restricted countries around the world. For example, Christians who are in countries that prohibit churches or the gathering of Christians in any places may receive specific directions from the Holy Spirit as to where they can safely meet. They also receive warnings of imminent danger, such as a visit from the police, or where to hide their Bibles to prevent discovery. In some instances, when a believer is confronted by the police, the Lord will give a word of knowledge to the believer about something in the policeman's life, such as a need for healing or another difficult situation that he or a family member may be facing. At times, this has resulted in the policeman becoming a believer. If the nature of the revelation to the believer is a very sensitive one, the believer must use caution in how the revelation is given. For example, I had gone to the altar to pray with a woman who was sobbing in prayer. As I stood behind her with my hand on her shoulder, the Lord revealed that she was involved in an affair with another man in the church. Since this was in church and a public place, it was obviously not my right to say anything to her, especially at that time. So I withdrew to pray, and I let the Lord handle it. Very soon after that, the situation was revealed to everyone in the church, and my impression was confirmed. If you are praying privately with somebody, but you are not sure that what you are feeling is from the Lord, you can say, "This is what I am sensing. Does this confirm something that you are experiencing?" Do not state that the Lord has told you something unless you are very sure that it was the Lord. You don't want to damage your credibility or harm the individual by labeling everything you feel as a "thus says the Lord." The Lord is always wanting to reveal His love and care for both Christians and non-believers. The word of knowledge can show the existence of God and His intense love for people by revealing the very smallest details of a person's life. This gift can warn of danger, reveal sickness, or the solution to a problem, or it can expose demonic activity. In any case, use this gift in love to reveal God's great knowledge to a world who needs to know Him as Savior and Lord. Now we're going to take a brief break, and you can find out how you can become a witness to people in over 177 different countries around the world. We will be right back.
We hope you are enjoying today's show. We believe that God has given us a voice to impact communities and regions all over the world. If you would like to make sure that voice is heard, please partner with us today by visiting www.expressionradio.org and click donate. You can also text give by texting the dollar amount followed by the word radio to the number 84321. First-time text givers, please choose Expression Church of Huntington when prompted. All gifts are tax deductible. Join us as we change the world.
Welcome back. We are in a discussion of the gifts of the revelatory category. And the second gift in this category of the revelation gifts is the word of wisdom. Now, while the word of knowledge always deals with facts that are past or present, the word of wisdom always deals with the future. It is defined as a fragment of God's wisdom that is imparted to a believer supernaturally to show the divine will and purpose of God. Obviously, it is not all of God's wisdom, but just the part that is needed for the situation at that time. The reason why it is future is because the plans of God have not yet been revealed at the time. It reveals how to do something, where to go, or when to do something that God knows is best. The word of knowledge and the word of wisdom often work together. For example, the Apostle John was shown the conditions of the seven churches discussed in the book of Revelation. This demonstrates the word of knowledge. But then, the solution to overcoming the faults within these churches was given. Ephesus, for example, was told to repent, to return to their first love, and to do the first works of their conversion, Revelation 2, 4, and 5. Then the Laodicean church was told to buy spiritual gold, put on clean white garments of righteousness, and to apply spiritual eye salve to be able to see the Lord clearly, Revelation 3, 18. When Ananias prayed for Saul, who became the Apostle Paul, Ananias first revealed the words of knowledge of how Saul encountered the Lord. Then he manifested a word of wisdom when he stated that Saul would be filled with the Holy Spirit. The Lord had also revealed to Ananias that Saul was a chosen vessel to bear the name of the Lord before many and that he would suffer persecution as a result, Acts 9, 15. The word from the Lord to Ananias about the future suffering of Paul was verified by another prophet, Agabus, in Acts 21. Paul was insisting on going on a trip to Jerusalem, even though the other saints were urging him not to go. Scholars have long debated whether this was an instance of Paul's very stubborn will, and it could have been avoided had he listened to the prophet. And as we stayed many days, a certain prophet named Agabus came down from Judea. When he had come to us, he took Paul's belt, bound his own hands and feet, and said, "Thus says the Holy Spirit, so shall the Jews at Jerusalem bind the man who owns this belt and deliver him into the hands of the Gentiles." Acts 21, 10, and 11. In spite of the pleas of his fellow believers, Paul went to Jerusalem, and he was arrested, just as Agabus predicted. This gift can be manifested in a certain number of ways. God can give a believer a strong impression, or even in some cases, an audible voice. It may come through a dream or a vision. Most often, in a service, it will come through tongues and interpretation, or through a word of prophecy. Always keep in mind that this gift is a supernatural impartation of God's wisdom. It is not a display of great human wisdom or someone's bright idea of how to solve a problem. Since God knows all aspects of the situation, past, present, and future, as well as others involved in that the person with the situation may not know of, only God can give the perfect solution. Remember, too, that there is often a time factor involved. It may be only a short interval of days or weeks. But it also may take years for the full plan of God to unfold. As with all gifts of the Spirit, it must be given in love and not contrary to anything in the Word of God. Since all of the gifts come through human vessels, there may be occasionally an influence by the opinion of the one giving the word. Some have confused the word of wisdom with the admonition of the Apostle James in his New Testament book. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. James chapter 1 and verse 5. This is the ability to deal with the general affairs of daily living. It is not talking about the supernatural answer to a problem that is encountered. It entails how to conduct oneself as a Christian rather than revealing God's plans for the future. Paul and Barnabas were on a missionary journey to Cyprus when they met a deputy proconsul and a false prophet named Elymas. The deputy was very interested in hearing the gospel, but the false prophet sought to turn him away from the faith. Now, when they had gone through the island of Paphos, they found a certain sorcerer, a false prophet, and a Jew whose name was Bar-Jesus. He was with the deputy, Sergius Paulus, an intelligent man. This man called for Barnabas and Saul and sought to hear the word of God. But Elymas, the sorcerer, for so his name is translated, withstood them, seeking to turn the deputy away from the faith. Then Saul, who was also called Paul, was filled with the Holy Spirit and looked intently at him. And he said, "O full of all deceit and all fraud, you son of the devil, you enemy of all righteousness, will you not cease perverting the straight ways of the Lord? And now indeed the hand of the Lord is upon you, and you shall be blind, not seeing the sun for a time." And immediately a dark mist fell on him, and he went around seeking someone to lead him by the hand. Then the deputy believed when he saw what had been done, being astonished at the teaching of the Lord. Acts 13:6-12. Here is an example of a person seeking to know the Lord who received the demonstration of several gifts of the Spirit. The Apostle Paul got the word of knowledge of the condition of the sorcerer's heart. This was also the gift of the discerning of spirits that will be discussed next. The solution to the problem came in a prophetic word given to Paul, and a reverse miracle of blindness came upon the sorcerer. All of this together resulted in the deputy becoming a believer. How desperately we need the gifts of the Spirit, including the word of wisdom from God, to operate in our lives. We will now discuss the final gift in this category, the gift of the discerning of spirits. This third gift in the category of the revelation gifts is not one that is prominent in the services or one that is specifically taught. However, it is a gift of the Spirit that is critically needed, especially as we see evil abounding around us. The Apostle Paul told the Corinthian believers that he did not want them to be ignorant of the spiritual gifts, and that the manifestation of the gifts were the operations of the same Holy Spirit. Since everything within the realm of God's knowledge, which are facts, events, purposes, motives, destinies, actions of human and satanic entities, and all things past, present, and future, these all come within the range of these three revelation gifts, then any of that knowledge can be revealed by God. The word of knowledge gives the revelation of things present or past. The word of wisdom gives revelation of the mind and purposes of God. The gift of the discerning of spirits gives insight into the spirit world. Some Christians have assumed that this gift applies only to the realm of evil spirits, but this assumption can lead to labeling people as being demonically controlled when it is actually the manifestation of their unregenerated natures. It is not always a case of "the devil made me do it." The gift is never to be used as a psychological diagnosis or to point out the faults of others. This gift reveals the actions of all spirits, good or evil, human, satanic, or divine. It reveals whether a person is operating under the influence of the Holy Spirit, a demonic spirit, or simply his own fleshly spirit. Since Satan has always tried to be like God, he attempts to mimic the gifts of the Spirit, and that would include manifestations of false prophecies, words of wisdom and knowledge, and even the working of miracles. For example, the magicians in Pharaoh's court were able to duplicate some of the signs done by Moses and Aaron while under the influence of their demonic gods. but they never were able to match the power of God. Our first line of defense when someone is operating out of their own flesh or even from a demonic spirit is the Word of God. The believer should know if the words, teachings, or actions of another person are not in line with the Bible. If a prophetic word is given that is not from the Holy Spirit, there should be a red flag warning system within the believer that alerts him to the false word and the spirit behind him. It will be jarring and harsh and totally different from anything that the Holy Spirit would give. Now, sometimes a demonic spirit will present itself as one who worships the Lord. The Apostle Paul encountered this on one of his evangelistic travels. Now, it happened as we went to prayer that a certain slave girl possessed with a spirit of divination met us, who brought her masters much profit by fortune telling. This girl followed Paul and us and cried out, saying, "These men are the servants of the Most High God who proclaim to us the way of salvation." And this she did for many days. But Paul, greatly annoyed, turned and said to the spirit, "I command you, in the name of Jesus Christ, to come out of her." And he came out that very hour. Acts 16:16-18. An example of discerning a human spirit is found in Acts 8:9-24. Simon was a sorcerer who had recently been converted and baptized. So he joined with Philip and the rest of the apostles who were leading a revival in Samaria. When Simon saw the manifestation of the baptism of the Holy Spirit in believers, he offered the apostles money to have the ability to reproduce the miracle. It does not say exactly in the scripture what was happening, but it was something that was so outstanding that the sorcerer offered money for this. However, he was a new believer, and he had not yet learned the integrity needed for the operation of the gifts of the Spirit. So when he was confronted by Peter for his ignorant request, Simon immediately repented and requested prayer. A demonic spirit would not have done that. As with the other gifts of the Spirit, this gift can be revealed through tongues and interpretation, a prophetic word, a dream or vision, or through a word of knowledge. If a person is found to be operating out of a demonic spirit, that person needs to be delivered, saved, and filled with the Holy Spirit. In all cases, this gift should be operated in love and care for the individuals involved. There are times when an evil spirit is the source of illness or other affliction, and the gift of the discerning of spirit can detect this. During our first medical clinic, which was in Tanzania, Africa, a young boy came to my nursing station for treatment. There were no birth certificates at the time, and so we had no idea how old he was, but he estimated that he was about 16 or 17 years old. His father was a pastor, and he was involved in the pastor's conference that was going on while we nurses conducted a medical clinic. This young man had been born deaf, and he was unable to speak. So when he stood before me, I was at a loss as to how to help him. After a quick prayer, I simply took a couple Q-tips and cleaned out his ears, but there was nothing else that I could do medically. Then God gave me a word of knowledge that the boy's deafness was caused by a spirit. I placed hands on his head and commanded the spirit of deafness to come out of him. The boy just stared at me for a moment, then he turned and went out the door. A minute later, a fellow team member came running in to say that the deaf boy had been healed. I did a series of tests that showed he indeed had received his healing. We sent him to his father, rejoicing that this boy would hear his own name for the very first time. Next week, we will discuss the third category of spiritual gifts, which is the gifts of power. Until then, have a great week in Jesus.
We hope you are enjoying today's show. We believe that God has given us a voice to impact communities and regions all over the world. If you would like to make sure that voice is heard, please partner with us today by visiting www.expressionradio.org and click donate. You can also text give by texting the dollar amount followed by the word radio to the number 84321. First-time text givers, please choose Expression Church of Huntington when prompted. All gifts are tax-deductible. Join us as we change the world.